Intro. This is Prompted, Tech Talks. More information, not more opinions. Hard data, real-world examples, and expert perspectives on the technology topics that matter. Today, part one of two. We're going inside the black box, large language models, what they are, how they actually work, and the key concepts you need before we get to the model comparisons in episode two. Segment one, topic brief. By late 2024, OpenAI had crossed 300 million weekly active users. 2 years earlier, most people had never heard the phrase large language model. That's the speed we're operating at. This is episode one of a two-part series. Today is foundations, what these things are, how they work, and the key concepts you need before we get into the comparisons, which is episode two. We're anchoring everything to Q1 2026. Quick disclaimer before we start. The LLM space moves fast enough that some of what we cover today may already be shifting by the time you hear it. We're going to say that out loud on purpose. Think of this episode as a snapshot, not a textbook. If this holds up for 12 months, we'll be surprised. We expect to revisit it. If you've used ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, or any AI assistant in the last couple of years, you've already been inside one of these systems. But what's actually happening when you type a question and get an answer back? Why does it sometimes get things confidently wrong? Why does a model seem to remember something from earlier in a conversation and then lose it later? And why can some of these tools now search the web, run code, and interact with your calendar when a year ago they couldn't? That's what today is about.
Segment 2, the landscape. The conceptual foundation for all of this goes back to a 2017 paper out of Google Brain called Attention is All You Need. At the time, it was an academic contribution. By 2022, it had become the blueprint for the most consequential technology shift in a generation. ChatGPT launched in November 2022. It hit 100 million users in 2 months, the fastest consumer app adoption ever recorded at that point. For context, TikTok took 9 months to reach that number. Instagram took 2.5 years. ChatGPT did it in 8 weeks. What followed was a land rush. Google rushed a competitor to market. Microsoft embedded AI into its search engine. Meta open-sourced its own model family. Startups raised billions on the strength of a demo. Entire industries started asking what this meant for their workforce. As of Q1 2026, the picture looks like this. Large language models are no longer a novelty. They're infrastructure. GitHub Copilot, which uses LLMs to assist with writing code, had 4.7 million paid subscribers as of Q1 2026, up 75% year over year, according to Microsoft's earnings call. Google has embedded its Gemini models into Search, a product used by billions of people every single day. LLMs are writing legal briefs, generating marketing copy, helping clinicians summarize patient records, and tutoring students. And the pace of change isn't slowing. In January 2025, a Chinese company called DeepSeek released a model called R1 that performed at the level of the top American models, but was reportedly trained at a fraction of the cost. The announcement rattled US tech stocks. It was a signal. In this space, the map can change overnight, and no one has a guaranteed lead. As Jensen Huang, CEO of NVIDIA, said at Davos in January 2026, what is being built right now is the largest infrastructure build-out in human history, and it's still accelerating. That's the landscape. Now let's talk about what's actually inside the box.
Segment 3, Under the Hood. Let's start with the name itself. Large Language Model. Three words, each doing work. Language. These systems are built around text. They learn from text, they produce text. Even when they're working with images or code or audio, much of what's happening is being translated into and out of a language-like internal representation. Model, a mathematical system trained to recognize patterns and make predictions, not a database, not a search engine, not a lookup table, a probability engine. Large. The scale is part of the mechanism. These systems have hundreds of billions of parameters. Think of each one as a tiny dial that gets tuned during training. More dials means more nuance the model can capture. Here's the core mechanic, stripped down. An LLM is trained by feeding it enormous amounts of text, books, websites, code, scientific papers, and teaching it to predict what word comes next. Over billions of examples, it learns the statistical relationships between words, concepts, and ideas. It learns not just vocabulary, but argument structure, logic, tone. It learns what follows what. When you type a prompt, the model doesn't retrieve an answer. It generates one, piece by piece, predicting the most likely continuation of your input. Each piece is called a token, roughly a word or word fragment. That process is fast, but it's probabilistic. There's no lookup happening. There's no guaranteed correct answer. There's a very sophisticated best guess. Context windows. Here's a concept that directly affects how you use these tools, the context window. Think of it as the model's working memory for a single conversation. Everything you've typed, everything it's responded with, any documents you've shared, all of that lives inside the context window. When you hit the limit, older content starts falling out of scope. The model isn't forgetting in any human sense. It literally can no longer see that earlier content. Context windows are measured in tokens. Early models had windows of a few thousand tokens, enough for a few paragraphs. As of Q1 2026, leading models offer context windows measured in hundreds of thousands of tokens. Some are approaching 1 million. That's roughly the length of War and Peace, twice over. This matters because the larger the context window, the more a model can hold in view at once. Long documents, extended conversations, entire code bases. The window size changes what the tool is capable of doing. Tool use protocols. For most of their early life, LLMs were closed boxes. You gave them text, they gave you text back. No internet access, no ability to check today's stock price, run a calculation in a live spreadsheet, or query an internal database. That's changed significantly. The industry has developed tool use protocols, standardized ways for LLMs to connect to external systems. Instead of only generating text, a model can now call a function, search the web, read a file, check a calendar, execute code. The result comes back into the model's context, and the conversation continues. One notable example is Anthropic's Model Context Protocol, or MCP, released as an open standard in November 2024. Other major platforms have developed their own integration frameworks. The broader category, often called agentic AI, is one of the most active areas of development in the field right now. The idea is the same across all of them. Take the LLM from a text-in, text-out box and turn it into something that can take actions in the world. Skills and custom GPs. Alongside these technical protocols, most major platforms have introduced ways for users and organizations to customize how a model behaves. OpenAI calls these custom GPTs. Other platforms use terms like projects, assistants, or skills. The concept is consistent. Instead of starting every conversation from scratch with a blank slate model, you define a set of instructions, a persona, a knowledge base, or a set of tools, and the model operates within that frame. A law firm might build a custom assistant grounded in their internal documents. A teacher might build one calibrated to a specific grade level. A developer might wire one into their code base so it can read and write actual files. This is the layer between the raw model and the end user. It's where much of the practical application development is happening right now, and it's what most people are actually interacting with when they use an AI product, not the model itself, but a customized wrapper built on top of it. Reasoning models. One more concept before we get into expert perspectives, the distinction between standard and reasoning models. Standard LLMs generate responses quickly, token by token in a single pass. Reasoning models, a category that became prominent in 24 and 2025, work differently. They're trained to work through intermediate steps before producing a final answer. They check their own logic. They backtrack when something doesn't add up. The trade-off is speed and cost. Reasoning models are slower and more expensive to run, but on complex problems, mathematics, multi-step planning, code that has to actually work, they perform meaningfully better. The difference is roughly this. Answering off the top of your head versus taking a few minutes to actually work through the problem before speaking.
Segment 4, the arena. So we have the mechanics. Now let's hear from the people who disagree about what those mechanics actually mean, because this is a field with genuine scientific disagreement, not just marketing noise. On one side, the capability optimists. Andre Karpathy, former research director at OpenAI and one of the most respected technical communicators in the field, has described LLMs as something like a lossy zip file of the internet. Roughly 10 terabytes of text compressed into a much smaller set of model weights, with the structure and patterns of human knowledge preserved, rather than the words themselves. The argument: by processing enough human-generated text, these models internalize not just language, but structured knowledge, cause and effect, argument patterns, factual relationships. The output isn't just retrieval, it's a form of reasoning. Ilya Sutskever, co-founder of OpenAI, has consistently pointed to what researchers call emergent capabilities, behaviors that appear in large models that weren't explicitly trained for. Models solving novel math problems, reasoning about hypotheticals, writing functional code in languages barely represented in the training data. His argument: scale doesn't just make models bigger. At some threshold, it makes them qualitatively different. Dario Amodei, CEO of Anthropic, made the case in his 2024 essay, Machines of Loving Grace, that the more striking implication of these systems isn't what they've already done, it's the rate at which they could compress future progress. His argument: what took the scientific community decades might, with sufficiently capable AI, take years. The bottleneck shifts from knowledge to execution. On the other side, the most prominent credible voice is Yann LeCun, chief AI scientist at Meta and a Turing Award winner. LeCun's position, stated consistently across 2023 through 2025, is that LLMs perform well at the language level, but they don't understand the world. His argument: without grounding in physical reality, without the ability to learn from sensory experience the way humans and animals do, these systems will hit a ceiling. They're sophisticated pattern matchers, useful, impressive, but not a path to general intelligence. This isn't a fringe view. LeCun is one of the most decorated researchers in AI history. His argument has legitimate technical grounding, and the counterargument, that scale and data can substitute for embodied experience, remains, as of today, unproven. There's a parallel debate at the infrastructure level. At CES 2026, Jensen Huang put it this way: you're going to be designed in a computer. You're going to be made in a computer. You're going to be tested and evaluated in a computer long before you have to spend any time dealing with gravity. That vision assumes LLMs and their successors can model reality with enough fidelity to be trusted for real engineering decisions. LeCun would say, not yet, and maybe not with this approach at all. Huang's entire business depends on that gap closing. These aren't philosophical debates happening in faculty lounges. They're bets, measured in billions of dollars of capital allocation, research direction, and talent. And as of Q1 2026, neither side has definitively won.
Segment 5, open questions. So where does that leave us? We know what LLMs are, mechanically. We know how they're built, what context windows do, how tool use protocols extend their reach, how skills and custom models sit on top of the raw technology, and how reasoning models differ from standard generation. That's the foundation. But the most important questions in this space are still genuinely open. Training data is one. The models that exist today were built on text that humans produced over decades. That supply isn't unlimited. Some researchers have raised the question of whether the highest quality training data has already been used. If scale is the engine of progress, what happens when the fuel runs low? Energy is another. Training a frontier model consumes enormous amounts of electricity. Running millions of inferences per day consumes more. As these systems become embedded infrastructure in search engines, productivity tools, healthcare systems, the footprint compounds. The industry has started to acknowledge this. The full accounting hasn't been done. Then there's the question LeCun keeps asking: is there a ceiling? Are LLMs on a path to increasingly capable general intelligence? Or are they a powerful but bounded tool, one that will require a fundamentally different architecture to go further? And perhaps the most practically urgent question for the next few years: as LLMs become more agentic, taking actions in the world, not just generating text, who is responsible when they get something wrong? The tools are ahead of the frameworks. The capabilities are ahead of the norms. We'll do this episode again, probably sooner than you'd expect, because in this field, a year from now, the landscape we just walked through may look almost quaint. which raises a question worth sitting with. When a technology moves this fast, how do we build reliable intuitions about it at all? Outrow. Large language models are probability engines. They generate responses token by token, statistical patterns learned from billions of documents. Understanding the mechanics matters, not because you need the math, but because the constraints shape what these tools can and can't do. Three takeaways. One, context windows aren't just a spec. Their size changes what the tool can actually do, from answering a question to holding an entire code base in view. Two, the capability debate between Carpathy, Sutskever, and LeCun is unresolved, and that uncertainty is relevant to how much you trust these systems. Three, the open questions, training data limits, energy footprint, accountability as AI goes agentic, aren't footnotes. They're the next inflection points. In episode 2, we go inside the models themselves, GPT, Claude, Gemini, and the open source challengers, what separates them, where they're converging, and what actually matters when you're picking one. Thanks for listening to Prompted Tech Talks.